من يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Continue with the series, Who Killed Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And tonight we begin from Sir Alam al-Nubala by Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, the section Sir al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, or the lives of the rightly guided Khalifas. And we come to, as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he breaks it down year by year, we come to the year 35 Hijra. And Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says, Maqtal Uthman, the death of Uthman, or the assassination of Uthman, of which we want to call this lecture, inshallah ta'ala, agent provocateurs. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says, in this year, meaning the 35th year of Hijra of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, is the assassination or the death of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He says rahimahullah that the Egyptians and other than them, they revolted against Uthman, and they went towards him to remove him from the Khilafah, or the leadership position of the Khalifa. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says that Ismail ibn Abi Khalid, he said that when the people of Egypt stopped at Al-Juhfa, this is a place there, it's one of the miqats that you go past in making Hajj, then they began criticizing Uthman. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he ascended the minbar, and he said, جزاكم الله خيرا، جزاكم الله يا أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عني شرا. He said, may Allah reward you with evil, O companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah reward you with evil for me, O companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have publicized and propagated my bad points, and you have covered up and hid my good points. And you have incited or instigated and urged the feeble-minded of the people against me. So which one of you will go to the group of people and ask them, what do they have against me and what do they want? He said this three times. Uthman said this three times and no one answered him. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he stood up and he said, I will. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, you are the one with the closest lineage to them. So he went to them and they welcomed him. Meaning, let's just try to stay along with the story, inshallah, for myself and those listening. The people began to criticize and go against Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was amazed that the people are going against him and that the Sahaba are not defending him. And when he asked who will go and find out what the people have against him and what do the people really want, no one stood up until Ali stood up to defend Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Ali, he went to those people who had something against him, Uthman, and they welcomed him. And then he says, as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says that he said, what do you hold against him? Ali is asking them, what do you have against Uthman? They said, we have against him that he wiped out Allah's book, meaning that he put the whole ummah on one mushaf. The mushaf is the book of which the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, are written in. And you denied protection or defense, or as that means, hamiya al-hima. And you placed your relatives, or you employed your relatives in positions of leadership. And you gave Marwan 100,000. And you held positions against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said that Uthman radiallahu anhu, he responded to their allegations. He said, as far as the Quran, then it is from Allah. And I only prohibited you from differing with the Qur'an. So read the Qur'an with any harf that you like. Meaning, the people were upset with what he did with the Qur'an. And Uthman is responding that the Qur'an is from Allah. Meaning that nobody can change the Qur'an, not Uthman or not anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we are the ones who sent down this revelation and we are the ones to protect it. So Uthman is saying that it's from Allah, meaning no one has the ability to change the Qur'an. Why are you accusing me with something that no one has the ability to do? Then he said, Uthman is saying, I only prohibit you from differing with it, but read it as you like. This is Wallahu A'lam, with the different recitations of the Qur'an or the harf, and there's a big discussion about the meaning of that. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. Then he said, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, as far as the denying protection, then wallahi, or giving protection, then I've only given protection or that I didn't, I don't know what this means exactly, this way or that way, Wallahu A'lam. But he says that I did not do it for the protection of my camels and my sheep, and I didn't do it for personal reasons. Allahu A'lam. He said, I only did it for the camels of Sadaqah. He said, as far as your statement that I gave Marwan 100,000, then this is from the Baytumal, this is from their wealth, meaning the wealth of the Muslims. And you can place in charge of it whoever you like. Nah. Meaning the wealth of the Muslims, or like we call it, as we come to the masjid, we say, is there any sadaqah? Meaning, did the Muslims leave any money at the masjid for the people, for the those responsible at the masjid, to give that wealth out as sadaqah? So meaning Uthman, if he gave the sadaqah out to whoever he gave it out to, meaning if the people didn't like that, then whoever they think is more trustworthy and more responsible in giving out the money, then let them give out the money. Meaning that he gave it out as he saw best, Wallahu A'lam. He said, as far as your statement that he went against or harmed, or as this could mean, held things against the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that I am only a human being. I get angry and sometimes I'm happy or satisfied. So whoever alleges that I have wronged him or taken his right, then here I am. Let him come get it back. If he likes, he can take retaliation against me. And if he like, he can forgive me or pardon me. So the people were happy and everybody united, and then they entered into Al-Medina. This is the people who are coming from Egypt with their complaints against Uthman radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Dhahibi rahimahullah, he says that Muhammad ibn Sa'id, he said, this is Ibn Sa'id, he says in his Tabaqat, he says that they said that he left from Al-Kufa to Al-Medina, meaning Al-Ashtar Al-Nakhai, and his name is Malik ibn al-Harith, and Yazid ibn Muknif, and Thabir ibn Qais, and Kumail ibn Ziyad, and Zayd, and Sa'sa'a ibn Suhan, and Al-Harith Al-A'war, and Jundub ibn Zuhair, and Asfar ibn Qais. They were asking Uthman to remove Sa'id ibn al-As, to remove Sa'id ibn al-As as the leader over them, meaning over Kufa, under the leadership of Uthman ibn Affan. So Sa'id himself, he also went to Uthman, and they were all there together. So Uthman refused to remove Sa'id from his position of leadership there at Kufa. So Al-Ashtar, he went out that night with a group, and they were about 10. They went out to Kufa, and they took and they overthrew its leadership. And he got on the minbar and he said, this is Sa'id ibn al-As. He has come to you alleging that the masses, or this area, As-Sawad, that it is for the young men of the Quraysh. And this is your birthplace and the center for your spears. So whoever sees that he has a right in the sight of Allah, then let him pounce or enter Al-Jur'a. And this is the area there at Kufa, or near Kufa. Let me back up. Here, alright, Sa'id, Sa'id ibn al-As, Uthman radiallahu anhu placed them as the leader over Kufa. Alright, Sa'id ibn al-As, he's from the Quraysh, but now he's over there in charge of Kufa, in charge of the Muslims. So he said that this is ours, meaning this spot is ours. We're in charge and it's ours. So the people from that land got upset. We fought and died and conquered this land. Uthman sent him to be our leader, that's okay. But now he acts like this is all his when we did all of the work. So this is what they're upset about with Sa'id ibn al-As. Rahimullah. So the people, they went out to their army camp Al-Jara'a. And then Sa'id came to a place called Al-Udhayb. So Al-Ashtar, he got 1,000 horsemen. Him along with Yazid ibn Qais al-Arhabi and Abdullah ibn Kinan al-Abdi, they got their army against Sa'id. So he said, the leader is saying, he said, go ahead out and disturb and harass and meet up with your companion. And if he refuses, then kill him. No, go meet, meaning go meet out with Sa'id, tell him what the deal is. If he agrees, alhamdulillah, if not, kill him. So they went to him, they went to Sa'id. But when he saw their position, or their sternness, or their firmness, then he went back. So Al-Ashtar, he got on the minbar at Kufa, and he said, oh, the people of Kufa, I have only got angry for Allah's sake and for you all, or on your behalf. And I'm placing Abu... Okay, you have to go back to your mother. Assalamu alaikum. No, this is, I'm just using it for now. So Al-Ashtar, he got on the minbar at Kufa and he said, O people of Kufa, I only got angry for the sake of Allah and for your behalf. And I'm placing Abu Musa al-Ash'ari in charge of the Salat, radiallahu anhu. And I'm placing Hudhayf ibn al-Yaman in charge of your money. And then he got down from the minbar. And he told Abu Musa, okay, it's your turn to get on the minbar. Okay, they're taking over now. They had Sa'id ibn al-As in charge. They went to Uthman. Uthman didn't accept to remove him from the position of leadership. So they beat Sa'id back to Kufa. They take over. Sa'id tries to go back and reason with them. He see it's not going to work. And good thing, because they said they would kill him if he didn't agree. So he went back. And now they're taking over. So they're placing who they want to be in charge. So they place Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu from amongst the Sahaba and the scholars of the Sahaba. And Hudhayf ibn Yaman, of course, the one we know as the one who knew the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning he knew who the munafiqs were. So they told Sa'id to get on the minbar, meaning to get on the minbar and tell the people, you agree with us that Uthman is wrong by keeping Sa'id ibn al-As as our leader. So Abu Musa said, I'm not going to do it. But rather, I'm calling all of the people to give their bay'ah to the Amir al-Mu'mineen and to renew their bay'ah with him, meaning the Khalifa All of the Muslims have bay'ah to the Khalifa. And now with this uprising and the disturbances, Abu Musa, instead of taking the new position of leadership, he's calling them back to the leadership of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the people accepted this position. So they wrote to Uthman with what took place, and Uthman was pleased and happy. And then Utbah ibn Wa'al, the poet of the people of Kufa, he said, "Be generous to us, O the son of Affan, and reward us, and place over us al-Ash'ari for these nights." Meaning telling Uthman to be generous with their situation there at their time of difficulty, and let Abu Musa al-Ash'ari be in charge of them, and since the people accept him and agree with him instead of Sa'id ibn al-As. Allahu A'lam. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says that Uthman said, "Of course, rather Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu can be in charge for months and years if he lives." And what the people of Kufa did to Sa'id is the first weakness that entered upon Uthman at the time that they became brave enough to oppose him radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says that Az-Zuhri, on the authority of Az-Zuhri, he says that Uthman became the Khalifa and he was working for 6 years and no one held anything against him from amongst the people. And in fact, he was more beloved to the people than Umar, meaning Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And that was because Umar was very rough with them. So when Uthman became the Khalifa, he was gentle and easygoing with them, and he united and established relations with them. And then Uthman became relaxed and slack pertaining to the people's affair. And then he began to put his family members in positions of leadership. The people from his household in the latter 6 years of his khilafah. So he wrote to Marwan with the Khumsi, or the wealth of Egypt and Afriqia, or like the tax money, or like that. And he preferred and favored giving the Muslims' wealth out to his family members. And Uthman, he tried to explain that by saying that he was keeping good family ties as Allah commanded him to do. So he took and made use of the money as he liked. And he took loans from the Muslims' money. This is called the Muslims' money back in those days were known as Baytul Mal. Naam. Baytul Mal, where people put their zakat and sadaqah money, and they have like one big pile, like a bank. And then anyone in need, then they would take it from there and give it out to all of the Muslims. This is what some of the people talk about today, and we talk about it usually as giving money out so Muslims can buy houses and buy cars without riba and what have you. In fact, this money was used in the past for the poor and the needy, not to increase someone's luxury living. Allahu Musta'an. So he said that Abu Bakr and Umar they took whatever they liked from that wealth for themselves. And indeed I took it and I divided it up amongst my family members. But the people opposed Uthman and what he did with that wealth. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says, and from what they held against Uthman is that he took Umair ibn Sa'd out of his position in Hims, and he was a righteous person who stayed away from the affairs of the dunya, or a zahid. And he let Muawiyah take charge of all of the Sham area, which is the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, outside of the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula. And he removed Amr ibn al-As from Egypt. And he placed in charge Ibn Abi Sarh in charge of Egypt. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was a companion. Ibn Abi Sarh is the foster brother of Uthman. Nah. Meaning they're raising Uthman. It's like you have your son and then you take a foster child and you raise him. Nah, like we say, adopted child. Foster child, because you can't do that adoption in Islam. So he's raised the foster child, Ibn Abi Sarh. He accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but he apostated. Nah. Okay, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he comes back to Islam. But Amr ibn al-As, he was a Sahabi with the Prophet ﷺ, and he still's Muslim. So Uthman removes the Sahabi and places his foster brother over Egypt, radiallahu anhu. Don't let me confuse you as we move along, that we mentioned the virtues of the Sahaba and the virtues of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and that the Muslims had united and agreed upon his leadership with the unanimous decision, as we had already covered. At any rate, then he removed Abu Musa al-Ash'ari from al-Basra. Remember, he placed Abu Musa in charge when he removed Sa'id. And he placed as the Emir Abdullah ibn Amir. And he removed al-Mughir ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu from Kufa. And then he placed Sa'id ibn al-As back over Kufa. Now, remember the one that everybody had a complaint against him. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, you have to go back to your mother. You have to go back and play back there with the children. Assalamu alaikum. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says that al-Qasib ibn al-Fadl, he says that it was narrated to us by Amr ibn Murra on the authority of Salib ibn Abi al-Ja'd. He said that Uthman called some people from the Sahaba, and from amongst them was Ammar. Ammar, that's Ammar ibn Yasir. His mother was the first Shahida in Islam, Sumayya, where they killed her, and then they killed his father, Yasir. And they tried to make him renounce Islam, and he said that he disbelieved, and he came crying back to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet asked him, did he really believe? And he said, yes, but I was forced to say that. And then some of the ulama say was revealed pertaining to him, wallahu a'lam. So he said, I'm asking you, and I want you to be truthful with me. I'm making you witness, and for the sake of Allah, do you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prefer the Quraysh over the rest of the people, and that he would prefer Banu Hashim over the rest of Quraysh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from Banu Hashim, and Banu Hashim is from the bigger tribe Quraysh, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from Banu Hashim, as he says in other authentic hadith. So the people were silent. He said, if I had the keys to Jannah, I would give it to Bani Umayyah so that they can enter Jannah. Bani Umayyah, that's Uthman's family. All right, Quraysh is the bigger tribe. Then you have different families inside that tribe. No. Let me try to make something a little closer to us. So you have one father, he has five sons and five daughters, for example. All right, the father, he's like the big tribe, and then all of his children have families. They get married and have families. All of those families are families under the same tribe, something like that. At any rate, the Umayyah is from, that's the family that Uthman al-Umawi is from. Okay, let me just pause here. Uthman, what he's trying to do now, he's saying, listen, yes, I hooked my family up with all of the money from the Muslims' money, but the Prophet ﷺ, he used to look out for the Quraysh and his people too, right? But everybody was quiet when he was making his case, radiallahu anhu. On the authority of Abu Wa'il, that Abdurrahman ibn Awf, and we remember Abdurrahman ibn Awf from the 10 who have glad tidings for Jannah the Prophet ﷺ gave, and he was also the one that was in charge for choosing the Khalifa after Umar, as we covered already in the past. Abdurrahman ibn Awf, him and Uthman had a little discrepancy amongst themselves, or some words amongst themselves. So Abdurrahman asked Uthman, sent and asked him, why did you run on the day of the battle of Uhud? And why didn't you fight in the battle of Badr? And why did you go against what Umar radiallahu anhu had already established? So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he sent back to Abdurrahman ibn Awf, I didn't fight in the battle of Badr because of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She busied me with her sickness. I think we covered that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his daughter Ruqayya to Uthman radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Uthman permission to remain from fighting at Badr so that he could take care of the Prophet's daughter Ruqayya, who died shortly after Badr. The Prophet ﷺ married Uthman to his other daughter, Kulthum, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He said, as far as the day of Uhud, then Allah had forgiven me and pardoned me for that. As far as that which Umar had established, then I swear by Allah, I don't have the ability to do what Umar did, nor does anyone else, or nor do you. And there was something between Ali and Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu went to mediate between the two. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, I swear by Allah, if he, meaning if Uthman, commanded me to leave my home, I would leave my home. And I'm not trying to cheat or to fool anyone, that the book of Allah must be established, or that the book of Allah shouldn't be established, or as he said, radiallahu anhu. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he said that Saif ibn Umar said on the authority of Atiyah, on the authority of Yazid al-Faqasi, who said, Ibn Sauda, the son of the black lady, that's referring to Abdullah ibn Saba, al-Yahudi, the Jew. They call him the Jew because he was a Jew who claimed that he accepted Islam. And we'll see of his evil as we go on in this story, inshallah ta'ala. So, when Ibn Sauda went to Egypt, he stopped at Kinana ibn Bishr one time, and he stopped with Sudan ibn Hamran another time, and he went to Al-Ghafiqi, and Al-Ghafiqi slashed his forehead and spoke against him or something like that. And he went past Khalid ibn Muljam and Abdullah ibn Razin and people like them. And they had some words for him. And he didn't find any of them to answer his call, what he was calling them to. So he said, I advise you to get the old she-camel of the Arab, or something like that. And I'm not from amongst them or from their men. And make him believe that you are on his behalf or something like that. Make believe that you are doing agriculture or something like that on his behalf. But in actuality, this year, don't do any, I don't know what you call that. He's saying, let me try to say in other words. He's setting a bad climate. He's telling the people to make Uthman believe that you're planting the crops for the food for the believers for this year. But, in fact, don't do that so that the people would be affected by the crops by not having any crops for that year. Then, when the people complain to Uthman, then you could get your leader removed because of that. He said, and then we will ask for someone who is weaker than him to wrongfully ascribe to what we really want. And we would make believe that we want good and that we are forbidding wrong. And the quickest one to jump on this bandwagon was Muhammad ibn Abi Hudhayfa. And he is the son of the aunt of Muawiyah, the son of the uncle of Muawiyah, or the cousin of Muawiyah. And he was an orphan under the guardianship of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But he got older. He asked Uthman to make hijrah to some of the other countries. So he wound up going to Egypt. And the one who called him there, or that which led him there, was that he had asked Uthman for some work there. But Uthman did not give him a job when he went there. He said, that they did what Ibn Sauda, who's Abdullah ibn Saba, the Yahudi, the one who's posing to be Muslim, they did what he commanded them to do. And then they revolted. And then they revolted against Uthman and others along with them. And they complained against Amr. And they wanted to relieve him of his responsibilities. But every time that Uthman would try to stop them from what they would do, then others would just come up with the same type of rebellion. All of them were desiring Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Salih. So they said to Uthman, as far as Amr, then we will remove him and wage war with him, or as they said. So then Ibn Abi Salih was placed in charge of the tax, and he left Amr over the Salat. And the one who was coming between the ranks was Sudan and Kinan ibn Bishr and Kharija. They went between Abdullah ibn Sa'd and Amr ibn al-As, and they started some letters between the two, making as if each one was against the other, and they both wrote to Uthman, and then Ibn Abi Sarh, he wrote that I can't handle the tax so long as Amr is in charge of the Salat. So they went out and they agreed with him, and Amr was removed of his position, and they asked Ibn Abi Sarh. So he wrote to Uthman. So Uthman wrote to Amr. That there's no good if the people don't like you there or something like that, so come on back. So Ibn Abi Sarh became in charge of Egypt altogether. Let me back up. Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, he's in charge of Egypt. And he's doing good, and he did good there while he was in charge of Egypt. Alright, but the foster son of Uthman radiallahu anhu ibn Abi Sarh, he wanted some position initially. He didn't get the charge. And then Abdullah ibn Sabah, he's causing some dissension amongst the Muslims there in Egypt, until eventually they're able to get Amr ibn al-As out of his position and to get Ibn Abi Sarh and a position of leadership there in Egypt. And then Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says, it's been narrated that there was something between Ammar ibn Yasir and Abbas ibn Utba ibn Abi Lahab, and that Uthman beat both of them. Meaning Ammar ibn Yasir and Abbas ibn Utba ibn Abi Lahab, the one who the surah Abu Lahab was revealed, his grandson. Ammar and him had some problems, so Uthman beat them, meaning as an admonishment. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he says, that Saif narrates on Mubashir, or Mubashir, on the authority of Sahal ibn Yusuf, on the authority of Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Abi Waqqas, he said that Ammar ibn Yasir came to Egypt, and Abu Shak, so that news came to him. So he sent me to call for him. meaning a Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He said that Ammar ibn Yasir came to Egypt and my father was having some doubts about this, meaning Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He's also from amongst the 10 that the Prophet ﷺ gave glad tidings to Jannah. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he sent his son Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas to call Ammar to have a word with him because he feels that something's up. So he stood there with us, Ammar ibn Yasir, and he had a dirty turban on and a long outer garment with wide sleeves, a jubba. So when he entered upon Sa'd, he said to him, "May you be destroyed, O Abu al-Yaqadhan. I thought you were from amongst the people of good. This is Sa'd saying to Ammar, "Destruction be to you, O Abu al-Yaqadhan. I thought you were from amongst the people of good. But what has come to me about you striving to make fasad or corruption and ruin amongst the Muslims and to join forces or to rally and incite the people against the Amir al-Mu'mineen," meaning Uthman radiallahu anhu. "Do you still have your mind or have you lost it?" So Ammar, he took his turban and he got angry and he snatched it off. And he said, "I'm snatching Uthman from his position just like I'm snatching this turban off of mine." So Sa'd, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are Allah's and to Him we return. Destruction be to you, or mercy be on you, that as you have gotten all of these gray hairs now, and your bones have become weak, and you have lived your life, now you leave Islam, and you walk away from this deen naked." So Ammar, he stood up angrily, and while he was walking away, he said, "I seek refuge in my Lord from the fitna of Sa'd." And Sa'd, he said, "Haven't they fell into the fitna?" Meaning Sa'd, he's saying that Ammar, he thinks that the fitna is in defense of Uthman. And Sa'd is telling him, in fact, the fitna is with those who oppose Uthman, not with those who are defending Uthman radiallahu anhu. Then Sa'd said, "O Allah, increase Uthman in degrees with you for his patience and his pardoning." So Ammar, he left, and I saw Sa'd there crying. This is Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas telling the story, meaning his father Sa'd is there crying and his beard is wet with his tears. So he says, "Who is safe from fitna, O my beloved son? Don't you let anyone hear what has just happened. Indeed, this is a trust, and indeed I would hate for the people to take what was said and to run with it. Because indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, 'The truth is with Ammar, so long as he doesn't lose his mind because of old age.'" and he has lost his mind because of old age. Allahu a'lam wa radiyallahu anhu majma'in. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he said, and also from amongst those who stood against Uthman was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. This is the first Khalifa to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son Muhammad. And Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was asked about why did Muhammad revolt and go against the leadership of Uthman, and he said, out of anger and desire, meaning desire for position and leadership. And he was from amongst the people, meaning Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, from amongst the people who had a high status and position in Islam. But the people deceived him and his desires or his want for position and power. Before the people attack him and he has no power and ability against the people. He said, because indeed the people of Sham are still on obedience. Meaning the people of Sham, they're still with obedience to the Khalifa. So why hang out in Medina with all of this fitna when you can come and be safe in Sham and run things from there? So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he says, I'm not going to sell being a neighbor to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for anything, even if it means that my head will be cut off. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said, okay, then I'll send you an army. And Uthman, he said that I won't be stingy with the provisions from an army. I won't be stingy with providing. I won't be stingy to the neighbors of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the providing of an army. Meaning Uthman is saying that, okay, Muawiyah wants to send an army to him. Uthman is saying, okay, I'm going to take all of the Muslims' money to feed this big army that's coming down to Medina. And then the actual people who live in Medina, that's what he means by the neighbors to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that then I'm not even going to take care of them because I'm taking care of the army. And he's saying that he's not going to do that, meaning keep the army there. So then Muawiyah said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I swear by Allah that they will murder or assassinate you and that you will cause and provoke them to do that. So Uthman, he said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for me and the best protector. So the people of Egypt, they gave bay'ah to the likes of them from the people of Kufa and Basra and whoever answered their call. And they made an agreement amongst themselves for the day that the leaders were removed from their position or something like that. So the people of Kufa, they stirred things up amongst themselves. For Kufa, things were stirred up amongst them by Yazid ibn Qais al-Arhabi. And the people were gathering around him. And they were fighting at that time with Al-Qaqa'a ibn Amr. So he got the people around him, and Yazid said to Qaqa'a, you have no path, you have no way against me or against them, and I swear by Allah that indeed I hear and I obey. and that I'm holding on to the Jama'ah, except that I request exemption, or he's asking for reprieve from the leadership, from the office of leadership of Sa'id. And they didn't appear that they wanted anything other than that. So they met with Sa'id and they turned him back to Al-Jara'a, meaning that's a place outside of Kufa. And the people took Abu Musa as their leader, and Uthman agreed with that. So when the leaders went back, the people who was with Abdullah ibn Saba, the Jew who alleged Islam, then they had no way to revolt against the other cities. So they wrote to the others that were like them and asked them all to go to Medina to do what they wanted to do there. And they were making believe that they were enjoining what is right. So they asked Uthman about things so that they would spread amongst the people till they actually would come into effect. Meaning, what they tried to do in stirring things up so far, it didn't work. So now they're saying to go and make this attack on Uthman. Alright, we're coming into another attack on Uthman. The first was allegations against Uthman, remember, and then Uthman told them what were the reasons behind that, and everything was worked out. Alright, now that this is a real stirring up of things, but it didn't get far. So now they're trying to stir things up around Uthman himself, radiallahu anhu, as before they were trying to work with some of his leaders, or to go against his leaders. So they all came to Medina, and Uthman sent two men to them, one from Banu Makhzum and one from Banu Zuhra. So he asked them to see what they wanted, meaning see what this group that's coming to Medina really wants. And they were from amongst, these two were from amongst the people that Uthman had admonished previously. But they were patient with the truth, and they didn't harbor any secret hatred against Uthman. So when they saw these two, then they informed these two, and they said, "Who are with you there in Medina?" They said, "Three." So the two, they said, "So what are you trying to do?" So they said, "We want to..." "We want to mention that there are some things that we're planting in the hearts of the people." "And then we want to go to the people and to make them believe that Uthman is agreeing with these things that we're trying to put out against him." And that Uthman, this time, he did not repent or get out of those things that he's being accused of. "Then we will go as if we're making Hajj, and then we would come to Medina and circle Uthman in, and then snatch him out from his position. And if he goes with that, okay. And if not, then we would kill Uthman radiallahu anhu." So those two, they went back to Uthman and they told him what the plot was against him. So Uthman, he laughed. And he said, "Oh Allah, make these people safe, because if you don't make them safe, they'll be miserable. So Ammar, he held against me the sin of Ibn Abi Lahab. Now we have mentioned him before, and he is Abbas ibn Utba ibn Abi Lahab. And as far as Muhammad, meaning that's Ammar's problem with Uthman, is really that he's making Uthman responsible for what Abbas ibn Utba ibn Abi Lahab did. And Uthman is saying, as far as Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, as-Siddiq's son, as far as he's concerned, then he's just amazed with himself or conceited, and he thinks that rights cannot be against him. Meaning you can't do anything against him or something like that. And as for Ibn Sara, then he just turns his attention to trouble all the time anyway. Or as Uthman is saying, radiallahu anhu. So he sent to the Egyptians and the people from Kufa, and he said, Salat together. And all of them were with him at the minbar. So he faced the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he praised Allah in a manner befitting to His Majesty, and he informed them of what was taking place. So two men, they stood up, and the people said, kill them. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever calls to himself or to someone and the people are agreeing upon an imam, then the curse of Allah is upon them, so kill them. I want to add here so that we don't take things too far. We're talking about the Khalifa of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, where things on a higher level. Not that any imam here and somebody opposes an imam and then the other people kill him and what have you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from killing the Muslims unjustly or for killing anyone unjustly, as this is not the religion of al-Islam. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Imam al-Zahabi رحمه الله, he said that Uthman, he said, rather will pardon them and forgive them. And Uthman is saying, even if the people went against me, okay, we'll forgive them and pardon them for that. And we'll make them understand and realize their mistakes. So indeed, So they said, the people are saying against Uthman that he completed the Salat while he was traveling, and the Salat should not be completed. They're saying that Uthman, when he traveled, he made 4 raka'ats when he was traveling. And you're supposed to make 2 raka'ats when you're traveling, not 4. So Uthman, he said, I went to a city where my family was, so I completed the Salat 4. Meaning Uthman felt that he was actually home, like someone who has a home in 2 states, and then when he goes to the other state, the people there, they don't see him regularly, so they think he's traveling, so he should make the Salat 2 rak'ahs instead of 4 knees. Explaining, Allahu A'lam. So they said, and he has wa hamita al-hima, And Uthman, he says, I swear by Allah that I didn't protect or forbid anything except that it was done before me. And he said that I became the Khalifa and I had the most wealth amongst the Arabs, or the most camels and sheep. And my wealth today is nothing but two camels that I use to make Hajj. Is that sufficient? And they said yes. Meaning they're holding their complaints against Uthman, and then Uthman is responding and he's asking them, okay, is that enough? Meaning, do you accept this as being done away with, that we don't have to continue the argument over that? So the others, they said, the Quran was different books, and you made it into one book. Now, this is what they're holding against Uthman. When the Prophet ﷺ died, that person has some Quran written down, that person has some Quran written down, that person has some Quran written down, and then you had the people who memorized the whole Quran. So the whole Quran was memorized during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but the Prophet ﷺ did not dictate the whole Quran to one person that he wrote it all down like we have it today in one book. But the Prophet ﷺ sometimes dictated some to this person, and he dictated some to that person. So the whole Quran was available, but it wasn't all together in one book. Uthman got everyone together and compiled it into one book. So Uthman, they're saying that nobody did that but you. Meaning, why you do that when the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr and Umar didn't do it? So Uthman, he answers that the Quran is one, and it came from one, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm only following those who came before me. Is that sufficient? And they said yes. Meaning that Uthman, he didn't do anything to the Quran, but made it easier for the people. And in that way, he's not inventing anything new, but in fact, he's following the people who came before him, and they accepted that from Uthman. So they said that you turned away Al-Hakam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to Ta'if, and then turned him away. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him, and then he turned him away. So isn't that sufficient? And they said yes. I don't understand the detail of what that was referring to. Allahu A'lam. So they said, you put young people in positions of authority, and you didn't place other people, or as they say. So Uthman said, these are the people who I placed in charge, so ask them. I mean, ask them about their position of responsibility, or ask if they are qualified to handle their position, or something like that. And then Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he said, and who came before me placed people even younger in positions of responsibility. And it was something was said even more severe than what you're saying to me. And it was said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he placed Usama in charge. Is that sufficient? And they said yes. Meaning they're blaming Uthman for putting young people in positions of responsibility. But the Prophet ﷺ, he placed Usama, and he was only 18, in a position of responsibility over the army that had Khalid ibn Walid and Abu Bakr and Umar in it. So he says, so what's the problem with me placing young people in charge, and they agreed. So they said, you placed Ibn Abi Sarah, or they said that I gave Ibn Abi Sarah from the wealth of the Muslims. And he said, I only gave him some, and that was 100,000. And Abu Bakr and Omar did the same thing. And some of the army had disliked that, so they took it back. And they didn't even have the right to do that. So now what? And they agreed with Uthman, radiallahu anhu, or something like that. Meaning that what they accused Uthman of doing, in fact Abu Bakr and Omar did the same thing. So what's the big deal? So they said that I love my family members and I give them. He said, as far as my love for them, for my family members, then that doesn't mean that I'm oppressive. And as far as my giving them, then I gave them from my own wealth. And I don't make the wealth of the Muslims permissible for myself or for anyone, meaning to take it and do with it as he likes. And he said, I took my own wealth and my property and I gave it to the Bani Umayyah or my family. And he made his children some of the people he gave his wealth to, or as he says in the statement. Now Madhahabi said that he said, so those people went back to their lands and they pardoned Uthman, or forgave Uthman. And then they wrote each other and made an appointment that for Shawwal. And when Shawwal came, then they went out as if they were making Hajj. And then they stopped at a place near Al-Medina. And the people of Egypt, they came and they were 400. And their leader was Abdurrahman ibn Udays al-Balawi. Their leaders. And Kinana ibn Bishr Al-Laythi and Sudan ibn Humran as-Sukuni and Qutayra as-Sukuni, and in the front of them was Al-Ghafiqi ibn Harb al-Akki, and they had ibn Sauda with them, or Abdullah ibn Saba, the Jew who was claiming to be Muslim with them. And the people of Kufa, they had a similar number as the people of Egypt. And they had Zayd ibn Suhan al-Abdi and al-Ashtar al-Nakha'i and Zayd ibn Nadr al-Harithi and Abdullah ibn al-Asam. And in front of them was Amr ibn al-Asam. And the people of Basra, they had amongst them Hukaym ibn Jabala and Dariq ibn Abbad al-Abdiyan and Bishr ibn Shurayh al-Qaisi and ibn Muharrish al-Hanafi, and in charge was Hurquls ibn Zuhair al-Sa'di. So as far as the people of Egypt, then they wanted Ali. Meaning they went to speak with Ali to get their point across. And the people of Basra, they wanted Talha. And the people of Kufa, they wanted Zubair. So all of them went, and each group is thinking that they will handle their business and better than the other groups. So they got to Medina, and a group of people from Basra, they stopped at the area of Dhul Khushub,
And the people of Kufa, they stopped at Al-A'was. And the people of Egypt came to them, and they stopped at Dhul Marwa. And Zayd ibn Nasra, he was going between the people of Egypt and the people of Basra. And Abdullah ibn Asam, he was going to Medina to see what was happening in Al-Medina. So both of them went to Medina, and they met the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Talha and Az-Zubair and Ali. And Talha, Az-Zubair and Ali, they're from the ten of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave glad tidings of Jannah, as we mentioned before. And they said that we come to take this house and to remove the people of their responsibility. And we seek permission that we enter, or that the people enter. Meaning they're coming to say, we come to take over, get out the way and let us come in. So all of them refused and prohibited them, so those two went back. So the people of Egypt, they got together and a group went to Ali. And from Basra, a group went to Talha. And a group from Kufa went to Zubair. And they all said to Ali and Zubair and Talha, either you give bay'ah to our man, or we're gonna sneak you and divide you, your ranks, and we'll attack you and we'll get you unexpectedly. So the Egyptians, they went to Ali, and he was at his army camp at a place called Ahjar al-Zayt, and he sent his son al-Hasan to Uthman and those who were with him. So the Egyptians, they gave the salams to Ali, and they presented their case, and he screamed on them and sent them back. And he said that the righteous know that indeed you are cursed, so go back, may Allah not be with you. So they left. And then Talha did, and Zubair, they did similar with the people who approached them, meaning who approaching them to remove Uthman from the Khilafah. So a group of people left, and they made it appear to be that they were going back to their lands. So the people of Medina, they went back home. And then when they went back to their sites, the people came and snuck them and attacked the people of Medina unexpectedly, and they entered Medina. And they were shouting the takbir. And they stopped at their army camps, and then they surrounded Uthman, and they said, whoever doesn't fight, then he will be safe. So the people, they stayed in their houses, and Ali radiallahu anhu, he came and he said, who allowed you to come back after we sent you on your way? And they said, we found that there was a letter saying that we should be killed. And the Kufiyun and the Basriyun said that we prevent our brothers and we help them, so the people know that they were making a plot. And we'll stop here and we'll pick up next week, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I just wanted to add here that as we are leading up to we are going through the events that lead up to the killing or the death of Uthman, we see that people have different motives that lead them to do what they do. As we saw that some of the people, they were upset because Uthman had to deal with them, admonish them. And we see that some of them, they were desiring position and leadership. And we see that some of them, they felt slighted that things weren't exactly the way that they wanted, and the other reasons that led people to do what they do. But we saw that these reasons, when they led the people to go against and oppose Uthman radiallahu anhu, we saw that when they were true and fair with what they held against Uthman radiallahu anhu, that it was all worked out for the best interests of the Muslims. And we're seeing that when the people were not fair, but that they wanted their way, that in fact things were not worked out, and that fitna and corruption was spread amongst the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us lessons to learn from our history. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there are any questions or comments on what's been presented. If not, we'll pick up next week, inshallah ta'ala.